Please with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We continue our study of the book of Ephesians. We're coming to the last big section, the armor of God section. I'm going to read verses 10 to 13 this morning to start. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. We thank you for being our God, and we thank you that we can come to you as your children. We are needy and hungry, and we need you to fill us, that you would take the truth and from these good and powerful words, and would you, by your Holy Spirit, feed us and strengthen us and build us up, convict us of sin, and convict us of your truth. Father, would you do us good this morning, not because we have done anything today to deserve it, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead alive that we might be justified before you. We come to you, God, in his name, for his glory, and because of what he has done, and because of what he has done is so awesome, we come boldly, believing that you love us because of what he has done. And believing it so much, we trust you will do us good today. Open our hearts to your word. Glorify yourself by your spirit for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Children almost always think they are braver and stronger than they really are. We value strength and bravery, and we all like to think of ourselves braver and stronger than we are. But children especially don't know yet what they're made of. And I'm not picking on you kids. I remember, as a preteen, at the height of my own personal lack of self-awareness, or perhaps the low point of my personal lack of self-awareness, we had a neighbor family, a boy older than us, and a younger teen girl about my age, and he was a little bit scary, and she was our friend, and one day I remember she was scared of her brother, and all of the boys in the community, we were certain we would protect her. And then, later that morning, as we were sitting around, out comes her brother, storming out of the house. Her parents are away. It was time for her to do her chores, and he was in charge. So he picks her up over his shoulder, like a potato sack. She's, "Help me," screaming, "damsel in distress." It's the perfect moment, and we all did nothing. We kicked the dirt and looked embarrassed. In our imaginations, it was so different. We would be strong. We would stand up. He would back down. But the reality of that storming teenager, we did nothing. We weren't ready. And just for your own peace of mind as I preach, it was fine. She just had to do her chores. She wasn't in danger. It probably was best that we didn't do anything. But at that age, both our strength and the fights that we fight are mostly imaginary. But there are real fights in life that must be fought, real struggles. And they are not the ones that we imagine. They aren't the ones that we can win with a one-line zinger that we dream about. They're not the ones we can win with a 1-2 punch in a heroic moment. They're not fights that we win by dramatically throwing ourselves in oncoming traffic. No. These are the fights of temptation that come out of nowhere, the pull of unbelief, the rages of our flesh, the daily struggles of faithfulness, when life feels dull. We're ready for those imaginary fights. But the pull of temptation is surprising, and the weight of disappointment that stacks up year after year after year is not what we imagined. There's no glorious victory, no standing ovation usually in this life. Just more days of the same work, more days of the same cross to bear, and the same grace of God if we will only believe it. Our text this morning is moving from the topic of submission into this topic of the armor of God. If we are to walk as wise all the way back from chapter 5, we're submitting to one another. We're giving ourselves to the roles that God gives us, all those roles we've been talking about, so we don't waste time fighting the wrong fights and fighting the wrong enemy. It's not fighting to get the best now and the most power now and the most authority now. It is trusting God where we are and being united together so we can be ready to stand in the evil day. When children overestimate their courage, it's cute. It can be devastating when adults do it. So our text is exhorting us, get ready to stand firm. The evil day is coming. It's going to take work, clear thinking, and faith. So let's be ready. Our text has three moments to prepare us to get ready. First, we have the strength we need defined. What is the strength? And then we have the enemy we have to fight identified. And then finally, the call, the orders are to stand. So let's walk through the text together. Let's first, the strength we need. Verses 10 and the beginning of verse 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And Paul is using here two images, and both images, the strength comes from outside of ourselves. They're external to us, but in both cases, something is required of us. The verbs are active. Be strong. We are something we are to be. Put on the armor of God. So our faith is engaged. And so let's look at both of those as they're describing it from a slightly different perspective. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Be strengthened with the strength that comes from God, the power of his might. And both the Greek words here could be translated might, the might of his might, or his mighty might. One leads towards power, one leads towards strength. So maybe your translation's a little bit different. But the idea is that we need the strength from God, the strength of his power, of his might. And the reality is, if you're a Christian, it is yours. Paul prayed back in chapter 3, right? According to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so Christ would dwell in our hearts and we would know the unknowable God and the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. We have this strength. It's for us. If you are trusting in Jesus, this strength is for you. So be strong in it. But how? How do we be strong in this might? Well, you must believe that it is yours. It is an act of faith. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote about Abraham. He was believing these incredible promises of God. In Romans chapter 4, it says, in hope, he believed against hope. There's no reason for him to hope, but he was still hoping that he would become the father of many nations because he had been told, so shall your offspring be. God gave him a promise, and he was hoping in it against hope. It made no sense. It goes on, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. He was almost as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. It made no sense that he could be a father. He was almost as dead. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, he considered her. It seemed impossible. But no, unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So if he looked at himself, he said, I'm an old man. If he looked at his wife, she's an old woman. We can't have children. Obviously. But he grew strong in the Lord. He believed in God and not himself. He was stronger. He grew strong in his faith. So you're not going to feel stronger, and this is a really important point. You're not going to feel stronger. You have to trust that God's strength is in you. Abraham did not miraculously feel healthier. He didn't believe God, and then all of a sudden felt like he had a 40-year-old body or a 30-year-old body. He was still an old man. He believed God, and all of a sudden, Sarah didn't seem young and fertile. She seemed like an old woman. He didn't feel any different. Having the strength of God doesn't make you feel strong. You're having trust that God is strong, and that's the difference. In 2 Corinthians, Paul prayed before he suffered. He was praying, God, take the suffering from me. Take the suffering from me. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His experience doesn't change. God did not take the suffering. He said, in your weakness, I will make you strong. I will let you experience my strength as you see me working. You don't see yourself working. Trusting that God's strength is for us, that God is at work in us, is moving from doubt into faith. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I think, I know I can't do it in myself, but in faith, I believe God is in me and he can do it. So I believe, yes, I can turn from that sin. It's not inevitable because God is strengthening me. Yes, I can move towards that obedience that God has put before me because God's strength is in me. I can be more generous. I can lay down my anxiety, not because of my ability, not because I feel more self-controlled, but because I trust that God is in me. You see, you're moving from trusting in yourself to trusting in the Lord. That's being strong in the strength of his might. God's strength is for you, Paul wrote to his disciple Timothy. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Trust in the grace of God for you. Trust that God loves you and is for you. His son died for you. So he has given you all that you need for the struggle that you are in. Faith is only real in real life. Imaginary stuff is not what faith is for. It's not so you can imagine having that heroic victory. It's trusting God when it's really hard and you don't see a way forward except trusting him. Faith is only real in real life when it's hard and you step forward in faith. That's growing in the strength of God for real obedience in the face of real temptations. That is the strength of God. It's trusting in the hard things that we're praying against, like Paul, pray for the suffering to end. And it's praying, trusting in God, so we don't trust in the good things that we might put our trust in. Paul in Philippians 3 said, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I'm not going to trust in myself and all of my good works and all of what I do. I count them all as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death. See, that's the power. Is when I don't rely on my strength and my good works and what I have done, but I'm relying on his strength and his power, the power of his resurrection, so we might share in that power and his real suffering. We don't strengthen ourselves. That's not going to help us stand. And this is not a mind game. We're not hyping ourselves up. It's real abiding faith in the living God who strengthens his people. This is what real faith is. So we count as rubbish all the things that we add so we can be strengthened with the strength of his might, the power of his resurrection. That's the power of God for you. And so then he has this other image, this armor image. Put on the whole armor of God. Now here Paul's moving towards the reason for this strength. So we're not to be spiritually strong in the Lord to be spiritual bodybuilders, showing off our spiritual muscles. No, we're preparing for war. We're being strong because the battle is in front of us. The physique of a bodybuilder is very different from the physique of a soldier. Right? They're both strong, but one is designed to show off, And then that's the point. I mean, I'm not being unkind. They're showing off. They're trying to show off the every perfect muscle defined in every perfect way. But the other is designed to accomplish something, to be able to endure and fight and withstand. We're not called to show off. We're called to endure and fight. So we are putting on armor to go to war. The spiritual strength we have is not for us to show off with, but to go to war with. Peter O'Brien, the commentator, says the expression full armor referred to the complete set of instruments used in defensive or offensive warfare, worn by a heavily armored foot soldier. That's what the hearer would have heard. Like, this is what the foot soldiers were wearing when they were going to war. We'll consider all the items of the armor next week, Lord willing. But they're not all defensive. Some are offensive. We're called into a spiritual war, and we need to be ready. Paul had already used the image of putting on earlier in Ephesians, right? We were to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. We are putting on this new self after the image of God and putting on these items of war that God gives us. And all of this goes together. Another time in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul writes, as a servant of God, we commend ourselves in every way by endurance and affliction and hardship and calamities, beatings and imprisonments, riots and labors and sleepless nights and hunger. See, in all these temptations, he was putting on, he says, by purity and knowledge and patience and kindness and the Holy Spirit and genuine love, he puts on this new self by truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. So in all those temptations, afflictions and hardships and calamities and beatings, he was putting on Christ, and he had the power of God, and he had the weapons of righteousness. That's the image for us. Life is going to be hard. Real life is hard. And God is preparing us to stand in it with his power and his weapons. The new life in Jesus Christ made alive by God. God prepares us for every day and every encounter, but we must take up the weapons. By faith, we believe we have what we need. Like the strength of God, we are not going to feel these weapons. We will not have the comfort of their weight to make us feel safer. No, this is not a war of flesh. We must trust God that he will never leave us, and by faith take up weapons that we cannot feel. Again, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we're alive in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. That's not our fight. We're not waging war against what we can feel. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We're going to talk about that more next week. But that's what this weapon, this armor is about. To wage war against all the lies of the world. And that's what Pastor Chaz prayed for you children as you go off to school and you're going to hear things and you have to study. Even if you're homeschooled at home, you're thinking about the world. There are lies all out there. There's so many lies swirling around us, and the spiritual armor we're putting on is so we're not being caught off guard and believing the lies of the world. We're not being caught up by that riptide pull of the world out into sea, but we're holding on to Jesus. If you're in Christ, you have all the weapons and the armor you need, but you must put them on. You must believe it. Just get this big idea. God prepares you to stand. His strength is for you. He gives you all the armor you need to stand to accomplish all of his purposes. And it's perfectly suited to you and your need all the time. It's always there. And boys and girls, you remember the story of David? Remember David? He goes to war. He's going to go fight Goliath. And so the king, of course, said, well, that's crazy that you're going to fight Goliath. But if you're going to fight Goliath, What do you remember what Saul gave him? All his armor. That made sense, right? You're going to go fight Goliath. You need my armor. And none of it fit. David's like, that doesn't fit me. That's not what I need. He took all of it off. He didn't need that armor. He had the armor of God. So we don't need this outside stuff that makes us feel better. We have what you need. You have the armor of God to go forward and obey him. You must put it on to fight against laziness, to fight against those times when you feel helpless before your impulses or your weaknesses. Do you understand you have all that you need? The war is already won. Look at our passage. What is the exhortation to do here? Is it to go out, put on the armor, and win the war? No, the war's won. It's to go out there and stand. You're being armed to stand. The war's done. Jesus won. Satan was defeated. And at the end of all times, he's utterly cast off. Your call is to stand. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are victorious in Christ. The battle is won. We are to be faithful. So by faith we believe we have the strength that we need. By faith we believe we have the tools that we need to accomplish all that God is asking us to accomplish. And so then we have to focus. If that's our armor, that's the strength, we're perfectly suited to fight the adversary. So we need to think about the adversary. Who is the enemy? Paul goes on in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we need this power and we need this armor, not to win the war, but to keep ourselves from the schemes of the deceiver. And Paul describes this battle against this individual enemy, the devil, the scheming devil, and also this whole host of cosmic powers. And he's conveying some different ideas to us there. So let's consider those each individually. The scheming devil, Kyle Snodgrass in his commentary wrote, mention of the schemes of the devil reminds us of the trickery and subterfuge by which evil and temptation present themselves in our lives. Evil rarely looks evil until it accomplishes its goal. It gains entrance by appearing attractive, desirable, and perfectly legitimate. It is a baited and camouflaged trap, Satan masquerading as an angel of light. So the enemy we fight is a deceiver. A schemer. He will not play fair, and he has no interest in the truth. He tempted Adam and Eve. Remember in the garden? Before he came, they had the rule, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the narrative of Genesis, they don't even talk about it. It's like, we can't eat from that tree, so why even think about that tree? Why talk about it? It's out of your mind. But then the devil shows up. He starts asking questions, and poisonous thoughts take root in Eve's mind. And then after the devil's there, then what is it? All of a sudden, now the tree looks so good for food. It's a delight to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. And she eats it. She gives to her husband. He eats it. They didn't have their armor on. They were not ready to fight against the arguments and take every thought captive. Now, after the lie was believed, that fruit looks so good, a delight to the eyes, desirable. And how can fruit look like it's going to make you wise? Right? You know, that fruit looks really tasty. It's going to be really filling. But how does fruit make you wise? How do you think that? Except though a lie was believed. But we think that's ridiculous. But we believe, wow, that pornography is really going to satisfy me. What madness! Oh, if I beat down my wife, then I'll finally have peace in my home. That's insane, right? If I always fight against my husband, if I tell him how miserable of a leader he is, that's going to help him be a better leader. You see, we're believing lies, and sometimes in the midst of that, it feels so compellingly powerful. But it's not true. It's a lie of the devil. We have a scheming, deceiving enemy. And in a minute, that feels really powerfully right. And we need to have the armor on to be ready. The devil is coming with lies. That's what the Satan does. He takes that which looks good and he perverts it. He perverts it in our minds with his temptation, these lies, as we want it for ourselves. That beautiful woman, that other family, they have the perfect life. Oh, the respect that guy has. Oh, that money, that way of life, that ease. And we fixate on it. And that's what will make me happy. And that's what will fill me up. That's what I need. And that fixation, that's, oh, it's a delight to the eyes. That's desirable to make me wise. That's what I need. It's a lie of the devil. We need God's strength and his armor to stand against his lies. As we saw in Ephesians, that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We have to grow up. Those are lies. And Satan has poured those lies into the world, and they have been absorbed by humanity, and they're swirling everywhere around us. We have to grow up. Dear friends, it is not humorous for adults to act like children. And our society, our culture has forgotten that. We have acted like it's good for adults to act like children. It's not. We have to grow up. I'm not yet a grumpy old man, but I feel like I'm getting there. I was a foolish young man. And for you who are young men, life is important. Don't waste it on foolishness. And don't wait till you're old to figure that out. It's time to grow up. Our world loves foolishness. And it's a lie. Distract yourself away from all of your responsibilities. You have real responsibilities. There's a war going on for your family. So maybe don't play so many video games. Maybe love your families more and pour into them more. You have the grace of God. Put your armor on and get to work. It's important. The world says this doesn't matter. But it does. You can impact your children for eternity if you will try. You can guide your wife into safety if you will try. But we have to be grown-ups. Peter says, be sober-minded and watchful. You have an adversary, the devil, and he is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. To overestimate our courage and strength is the precursor to failure. We forget we have a scheming enemy. If anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls, Paul says. We have a scheming enemy. The book of Revelation calls him the ancient serpent and the deceiver of the whole world. So no, dear friends, we need to overestimate our weakness and depend more wholly on Jesus. We need to think ourselves weaker than we see ourselves as weaker, so we see, give no opportunity for the flesh, so the lies of the devil cannot take hold. Remember, you have an enemy, and he's craftier than you. In our weakness, we are strong. We acknowledge we cannot stand, so we rest in the power of God. We know our weaknesses, so we get help from each other. And that's maybe, just get that. If you believe that you're really weak and you need God's help, then find that help in God's people. If you're struggling with sin, ask for help. Find help from your brothers and sisters. How many men have fallen? Prominent men have done great harm to the name of Jesus. And they didn't lose the war. You can't lose the war. Some of them have repented and they're okay. They will be in heaven. But they have made a shipwreck of many other people. They have done damage to the name of Jesus because they weren't ready. It is a tragic thing when adults fight imaginary wars with their imaginary strength and they are not ready for the real fight that's coming. We have a real enemy. He is full of hatred and lies and he is scheming. So be sober, be faithful, be strong in the Lord and put on his armor. And that's the other point. These are cosmic powers. Not only is he scheming deceiver, it is a cosmic enemy we fight. Our enemies are so much stronger than we are. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The Holy Spirit is conveying to us through the Apostle Paul here the vastness of our enemy. We are called to stand in enemy territory. There are powers that rule over this present darkness. Paul in Colossians said, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That means this is the domain of darkness we live in here. Cosmic powers, forces of evil. So that tells us at least two things. One, we have no way to win against these forces on our own. This calls us to humility. These powers are far beyond us. They have experience and power that we simply do not have. That humbles us not to rely on our own strength. We're like children fighting against the armies of the federal government. About David fighting against Goliath, that made no sense unless God did it. We need a strength outside ourselves. We need to be humbled by the reality of our weakness. One of the wonderful things about little children is their lack of guile. They just are not good at lying. And it's sad when they finally learn that skill. I think I maybe have told this story before, but I remember vividly as a child, I was left at the table one evening to finish dinner. Everyone had left. It was horrible, and I did not want to eat it. I don't remember what it was. I just remembered it was horrible. But I had to finish my food, and nobody was going to sit with me anymore. And so in my mind, I finally decided I was going to throw my food away. But I was going to be smart. I was not going to put it in the kitchen trash can because they would look there. I was going to put it in the pantry trash can because they wouldn't look there. So I did my sinful little deed, and I called my parents to show them how good of a job I had done. I finished my meal, and my mom comes in. She says, "No, okay, did you throw it away?" And she looks at the kitchen trash can, and so I ran over and stood in front of the pantry door and said, "No, I didn't throw it away. You don't have to look in here." It was so easy, she could see through me. For me, I was so smart. But I had no guile. I was not good at lying. And so I was punished, and I can't remember what happened. I just remember that part. But that's what we're like before these cosmic powers. We think we're so smart. We pat ourselves on the back of what we've been able to figure out and how much we have. We're like children, and they can manipulate us. They have powers that we can't imagine. That's what we're like. And all the little lies we tell ourselves, and we believe that we can handle that, and that won't tempt us, and I can watch that, it's not going to affect me, and oh, they love that. Look how silly they are. And all their power is against you to bring you harm. There are cosmic powers laughing. They've seen it all. We need to depend on Jesus and his strength. The one who God disarmed the rulers of all those authorities. He put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Jesus. He's the one, not us. He won the war. We didn't. We have his strength so we can rest in him to stand. So it should humble us, but also, secondly, that should focus us. Let's make sure we're fighting the right fight. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting for our own kingdoms. The people we often focus on, the people we think of as our enemy, political opponents or cultural influencers, those people are just ensnared by the true enemy. And they may be dangerous, and we need wisdom, and we have to have grace to know how to deal with them, respond to them, but they are not the enemy. They are who we used to be. You remember back in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead. You were dead in the trespasses of your sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. That's who you were. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So those people that we think of as our enemy, they're just us before we were converted. They're real, the real enemy, are real forces of evil. And they've enslaved these people with their cosmic power. There's a tidal wave of temptation out there. There's an ocean of sinful assumptions. There's mountains of pressure every day. And the world has held sway by the forces of darkness. We could not stand before any of those things without the power of God. So let us grieve those who are enslaved. Let's grieve over them and work with grace, yes, to limit their influence as we can, but let us be lights of truth so that some might be saved. They aren't the enemy. There is a schemer who is the enemy. There are powers that are the enemy. We need the strength of God to stand against the true enemy. So let's be thinking soberly and carefully. Peter O'Brien again says, if we think the Christian life is simply a matter of human effort or exertion, then we have misread the nature of the campaign and will not be able to resist the evil one's fiery darts. Let's not misread the campaign. Let's not forget the war we're in. If it's on me, it's going to be a mess. We have to remember where our power comes from. So don't misread the campaign. We aren't here to be the hero. Jesus is the hero. We're the ones who stand because he is. So our call then, our orders is lastly, the call to stand firm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Take up the armor of God. That's what you can do. It says, having done all. That's what you do. Have faith and take up the armor so you can stand firm. The evil day is the day of temptation, the unexpected day when it comes and you're tested. So you need to be sober and ready. Be careful. There will be days of temptation before you, and these will be days you will not expect. Days of accidents and health issues, financial crises. There will be days of success that will tempt you in ways you don't expect. Days of opportunities for the flesh that you weren't looking for. Days of temptation. Do what you can do now. Make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Get ready. The battle has been won, and we have this power to stand in the evil day. As Paul started back in Ephesians 1, we have the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. This immeasurable greatness of the power towards you. According to the working of his great might that he worked when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. All those powerful beings, Jesus is over them all. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. That is our power. That is the power that you have, Christian. The power that raised Jesus from the dead and over every other power. That's the power for us who believe, so stand firm. Jesus died for our sins and liberated us from bondage. And so it says we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold on. Hold fast. Press on. Stand firm. That's the call. The evil day is coming. Perhaps for some of you, the evil day is here. Perhaps the temptations have been overwhelming you. Perhaps you're fearful that you are about to give in. Perhaps you've been giving in. It's not too late, brother. Stand up. Sister, stand up. Stand firm. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. So if you have fallen down, stand up. Stand firm. Believe in Jesus today again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. This is for you. If you feel adrift in this world with everything changing, all the expectations changing, and everything you know to be wrong being called right, and you know deep in your heart, but the weight of the world to go along and the pressures of this world, the oceans of temptation, it's exhausting. There's strength for you in Jesus Christ if you will turn from yourself and come and rest in Jesus. There's life for you and peace, and you will be able to stand in truth and righteousness, forgiven and innocent. Do you want that? Jesus died for all the sins of all those who would ever believe on him, and that is for you if you will believe. And he gives strength to all who call on him. That's for you. And there's power to change, and there's a fellowship of fellow strugglers. There's life and victory. He has defeated all the foes. He is a great and awesome God. Believe in him. And brothers and sisters, let's stand up. Let's stand. Believe in Jesus. Believe on him and live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. We thank you for the life that you have given us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that we have, that you have equipped us in every way. Help us to believe it, to hold on, to stand firm. Help us to glorify you in everything that we do, for you are glorious and you are good. You are the Almighty God. You are the victor. You are the one who accomplishes all your purposes. So give us faith to see that we might stand firm in the evil day. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.